We are believing that this month is going to be a powerful time of answered prayer. And we want you to remember how God answers prayer. And so whether it's this journal or if you didn't get one and you can go to the store and grab one this week, what we want you to do is we want you to take this month and we want you to remember to pray first. And as you have prayer requests on your heart and as God begins to speak to you promises, we want you to write them down. You don't have to write a paragraph. You can write a little phrase if you want. But, you know, if the enemy can't keep us from God's authority and victory, then what he can do is try to distract us and cloud that in our lives. And there are many times where we earnestly 1 week pray for a prayer, and then 3 weeks later we forgot that God answered it and that God's good, and now we're into the next bad thing that's going on in our life. And we need to have a reminder. The Bible tells us to remember the works of the Lord. And so what I want to encourage you to do this month is take your journal and make it a place that every day you're writing down a prayer request or a word or promise from God or something that God is answering. And that by the end of the month, when we gather together, you're going to be able to look through this and say, you know, I am excited every time I open up the Bible, but I'm pretty excited about seeing what I see of God in my own journal. God is faithful. And so some of you, work is a very demanding place. I want to encourage you to take this journal and put it right on your desk at work and make it a source, a reminder, and a witness that God is with you. And when something comes up, instead of just stressing out and doing your own thing, open up that journal and just write down, God, I'm believing today that you will. And as God begins to speak to you, just remembering his promises, God is going to be faithful. And he's looking for people who truly depend upon him in prayer. And that's what this month has been about. It's been about keeping prayer simple and powerful as we remember to pray first in all things. The past few weeks, what we've been doing is we've been reminding ourselves that the very model and life of Jesus was to pray first. We just finished the book of Luke as we took Jesus' examples of when he withdrew from prayer, how he prayed, and what he taught in prayer. And Jesus, from beginning to end of his life, depended on the Father in prayer, even though he was the Son of God. He gave us an example to follow. And every time we pray, we show and live out our faith. And every time we don't pray, we're showing who we're really depending on too. When we pray, we depend on God. When we don't pray, we're really depending on ourselves. And so we want to, and what we encouraged you to do last week is to begin to actually track your prayer. And we invited all of you to make a prayer commitment 2 weeks ago to say, you know what, I'm going to pray 15 minutes a day. I'm going to pray 10 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day. And the reason we did that was we were trying to do some shepherding and just some simple parenting that all of us need spiritually. That a lot of us think about prayer more than we actually pray. Right? We think about prayer more than we actually pray. And so in these past 2 weeks, when you've actually made a commitment to pray 10 minutes a day, it's a moment to recognize how much am I thinking about praying versus how much am I actually praying. You know, if you sign up for 10 minutes a day, and man, I literally, because I tend to get scattered, I literally turn on my phone and put the timer on and then turn it down so I can't see it and just begin my prayer time. And I think I prayed for a half hour. I was like, I just prayed 7 minutes. What happened? I thought I was here for like 2 days, you know? And it was an interesting moment for me to say, how familiar am I? Like, how comfortable am I praying? Do I know what it means? And really, 15 minutes isn't that much. But my life has to adjust to be like, this is what it is just to spend time with the Father in heaven. So as we're making that commitment to pray 1 million minutes this school year, it's nothing about the number. What it is a little bit of a parenting tool for you and me to say, how much am I really praying? And so as you're doing that, as you saw, you can be logging in your minutes because we just kind of want to celebrate together. We want to make it a corporate priority to be praying together. But what I want you to see and what this journal is for the month of October, it's like, God, I don't want to just think about prayer. I don't want it to be a good idea. Remember 2 weeks ago? I want it to be a lifestyle because when we pray, God moves. When we do the possible prayers, God does the impossible miracles. But it starts with our prayers. And so what we want to do today is make sure that we as a church family are focused on being people of prayer. And it can be simple and can be very powerful. It doesn't have to be religious. And there's none of us in this room that have to in any way, shape, or form feel like, oh, that's not me. No, that's not true. Don't believe that lie of the enemy. That's a lie of the enemy. You are meant to spend that time with God. And when we begin to do it all together, and I just saw we've got a few more journals. So if you need a journal, you can feel free to grab one. I do want to encourage you that today, as I'm preaching, most of the sermon is just right here on this bookmark that's going to be in your journal. But I want to encourage you right now, open up the journal, break out the first day, let's break this guy in, and just put today's date. You know, just put a little, hey, you know, Sunday, October 2nd, pray first. And just, if God speaks to you, just write it down as we're going through and begin to make this your own. When we pray, God moves. And the early church was founded on, and it lived in, and it overcame everything we sung about. We will overcome victory in his name, authority. It was all because God's people prayed. So I want you to look with me at Acts chapter 2 one more time. And let's remember who we are called to be when we pray. I think we use another journal up here. Ellery, we got a few up here. Quick family note, the reason why we purchased those is for those of you who gave to the grace giving offering this summer. We always take an offering of grace over the summer to go to the world. We take a little tithe off of that and we turn it back into something for our church family. Last year was a lot of our Jesus's materials. This journal is because you gave in the grace giving offering for the summer. So thank you for doing that because it's a blessing back to each of our church family members. So as we become a people of prayer, this is what the Bible says we become. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and what's the other thing? To what? They devoted themselves to what?
Prayer.
To prayer. And because they devoted themselves to the word of God, to prayer, to being together as a church, everyone was filled with awe. I'm just going to stop right there. Church, we should be filled with awe at the presence of God. We should not settle for a church service that leaves us apathetic. We should not consider ourselves spectators at an event where Pastor Sean or someone else performs. We should come together believing that as we devote ourselves to the word, as we come together in fellowship, and especially as we pray, there should be an awe among us as God does wonders and miraculous signs as they were done then by the apostles and done by each of us who carry his name. Can I get an amen for that? All the believers were together and had everything in common. Let's stop right there because if you read the book of Acts, there's no way they had almost anything in common. I mean, these people spoke a different language from each other. They came from different nations. They came from different backgrounds. But because Jesus was their life and their joy, everything that was important to them, they had in common because they had Jesus in common. And Jesus was more than enough. We spoke last week about social justice. We talked about reconciliation among races and cultures. And it's in Jesus. We said the foundation is only in Jesus. And so as we do that, we have everything in him in common. And then we're generous. They sold their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. It wasn't attending an event. It was building real friendships within the church body that gave them the grace and the encouragement they needed for that first two words there, every day. That's what we're about at Cornerstone, about making Jesus center of everyday life. We want to have a great service. We want you to have a better Monday. We want you to have an incredible Tuesday. We want you to have a sacred Wednesday. The list goes on because God is with you. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They actually had something, J-O-Y, in their life. There was a little joy in their life because of Jesus. And they were praising God, and they were enjoying favor, the favor of all the people, even people who didn't believe what they believed or understood it, because while they didn't know who Jesus was and they didn't understand the message in Christianity, boy, everybody is blessed by a servant. Everybody's blessed by someone who has the graciousness of God in their life. and life flowing that they give to others. And so there's a favor they had. And then finally, in the hallmark that we've always got to be hungry for is the church family. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Someone today, your day today in this service is going to be to give your life to Jesus Christ. This is the day that you discover everything he is as the giver of life. And as a church, as we devote ourselves to prayer, these things happen. So Jesus gives us this model and this call to pray. Most of us tend to make it more complicated or more dry than it needs to be. So let's just talk real simply about what it looks like to pray. And it's right on your sheet, and I'm just going to go through it. It's not all that hard, but it is powerful. You see, to pray is, number one, to talk to God. And when we talk to God, what we're doing is we're sharing our feelings. We tell him how we feel and what we feel about. The book of Psalms is all about David or other psalmists saying, God, this is how I feel. And sometimes it ain't that pretty, but it's still part of prayer. There's not a good relationship you have that doesn't share feelings, because if you don't share feelings, you don't have closeness. And so prayer isn't that complicated. It's just talking to God. God, this is how I feel. And then what we want to do is, after we tell him how we feel, then number two, we want to listen, and we want to listen to him through his word. Because no matter how I feel, God is still true and his promises are still true. It's good for me to share how I feel, but one minute I feel up here, and the next minute I feel down here, and it shows up in every relationship I have. You know, there's some people in your life, they haven't done a thing different in your life, and today you love them, and tomorrow you hate them. What's changed? Your feelings, all right? And so I can value my feelings, but I don't get defined, or I'm not led by my feelings. So I share my feelings in prayer, and then I let the word of God, that's true despite my feelings, help me understand what God is saying. I talk to God, I hear from God, and here's where most people feel like if they don't do this next step, this is where prayer feels like that was, I don't feel any different. What we got to do from talk to hear, then we've got to give something to God. Give him something. And what we want to do is we share our feelings, we're starting to open up, and then what we do is we hear from God through his word, and that word begins to show us, I think I should give this to you. This is in the way, or this is something that's heavy on my heart, or this is a joy that I want to turn back to you. And when we give to God, here's the beautiful thing that happens. It makes room for more of God in us. And so that giving is so important. If you've ever prayed and felt like your prayers just hit the ceiling and it didn't make any difference, it's because you missed that step right there. You didn't give something to him. Because once you give to him, number four, then you're filled with God. You give, he gives back. He gives way better than you gave him. Way better. All right? And that's where you start to feel the songs we sang. We start to overcome, and we start to be lifted up. And then we finish by remembering that this life and God's glory is not just about me. We finish in unity. And so we make sure that we pray according to what God's people need and what God wants to do in the earth. It's that simple. And I want to challenge you this week. If you've never felt like you're really a strong person of prayer and you feel like, I don't feel like anything's changed when I try to pray, all you've got to do is what we just asked right here. And I want to share a few stories. I just want to give you a few more thoughts about those steps. But then really what I want to do is I want to finish us praying. I want us to do it today and begin to receive something more than we've ever had. It starts out with the idea of talking to God. And I think if you're going to say one sentence to God and you don't know what else to say to God, just say, Father God, I need you. You know what? That's an expression of love. When you just say, God, I just need you today. I need you. If you don't know what else to say to God and talk to him, just say that. God, I'm waking up, I'm not feeling well, I'm already behind. God, I need you today. God, I need you today. Sometimes that's code for, God, I'm a mess today. Sometimes it's code for, everybody else around me is a mess today. But what's the truth? God, I need you today. And you know, Jesus was very clear that when he taught the disciples to pray, he taught them to call God Father. In the Old Testament, God was directly referred to Father 15 times in all of the Old Testament. In the Gospels, God is referred to Father 165 times. Because Jesus and the good news of the kingdom of God was that God is not some distant, angry, untouched ruler who just wants his way done. It's that he's the Father for all of us that loves us. And the beautiful term, this was the last prayer Jesus prayed, Mark 14:36, the last prayer he prayed in a withdrawing to pray sense. This was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prays the prayer, and listen to how he starts the most important prayer right before he goes into his most painful moment. He says, Abba, Father. And the word Abba is that Hebrew word, the Jewish word for dad. Not father, but dad, daddy. The idea of the one who's with me, the one who goes with me to my softball games or hangs out with me or helps me fix the car or goes hunting with me or goes cooking with me or listens to my problems or goes shopping. It's dad. And Jesus has this model that says, Dad, here's how I'm feeling. I mean, what does he say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Dad, I don't feel like I want to do this, but nevertheless, then he goes back to the Word of God, thy will be done. Some of us in this room, dad isn't necessarily a good relationship. And so I just want you to remember today that because of Jesus Christ, there's not a person in this room who doesn't have a good and faithful, loving Father. There's not a person in this room, if you're in Jesus, you have a loving and faithful Father in heaven who's more faithful than you could ever imagine, and he is with you today. So if you're having trouble praying because you just don't know that he cares about you or feels, just remember what Jesus taught us about prayer, that it's Abba, Father. When I go to Ethiopia, they still use this word in the Amharic language for dad, and I'll literally be in the middle of a crowd at church, and I'll hear some little boy say, Abba, 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 and they'll find their dad and run into his arms. And it's such a great reminder because that's who God is. That's who Jesus taught us to come in reverence and holiness and Abba all at the same time. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how you feel. And that will begin to open up. You know, you ever have that kid when you're trying to feed them baby food when they're little and they wouldn't ever open their mouth? And you're trying to you're trying to get them and it's like, you know, how are you going to ever receive if you don't, what, open up first? And some of us, we need to start prayer by just saying how we feel. Just open up so God can give us something back. And so I want to encourage you today. It starts, talk to God, then just hear from God. And we use the scripture so that we make sure that we're hearing what's true and not just what we're feeling. We've just said what we're feeling, but now we move to what's always true. Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done. Let me know the truth. Let me know what's right. Now, Matthew 11:28, I'm sure there's nobody here in the room who needs to hear this. I'm being sarcastic at this moment. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And what did he say? Learn from me. Learn from me. I've got something to say. I've got something that will lift you up. Learn from me. I'll tell you the way to go. That was beautiful this morning. As people came forward, said, I just want someone else to help agree with me so I can hear from God because I'm burdened or I'm weary. And I believe I can learn from God today what he wants to do in my life. You will notice that in your bulletin today, there is a prayer guide for October. And what we've done is we've picked scriptures that declare the characteristic of who God is. And so what you can do, by the way, for some of you who don't have computer or email, if you're on our Pray First list, you'll be getting this email every day if you signed up for a million minutes. I want to encourage some of you, if you have not signed up to make a prayer commitment, I'm going to pray 5 minutes a day, I'm going to pray 10 minutes a day, just put that someplace on here under making a decision for a million minutes. Just I'm making a commitment to prayer. You'll get the email. But if you don't, we have at least a paper copy of the first devotion out in the Connection Center. You just get it on paper form out there. But what we're doing is I'm going to share how my day's going, and maybe my Tuesday's not going that well, and I've got a bunch of things about how this person's treating me and that person. And I'm going to finish telling God how I feel, and then I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to remember who he is. And even though all that stuff is there, God, you're what's greater. And that's going to help me know what to give to him next. So in the bulletin, there is that outline of the scriptures. There's a lot of us here that already do more in-depth Bible study on a daily basis. I just encourage you to tack this on to part of your prayer time so that you can be in unity with the church as together we're believing God for great things. Talk to God. Hear from God. Here's the missing piece. Give something to God then. Give something to God. I was in the middle of prayer on, I think it was Wednesday maybe, and I had read the scripture in Matthew where Jesus said, you know, if you're going to give a gift up to the altar and you know your brother has something against you, you should leave your gift at the altar, go reconcile with that person, and then come on back. And so I was praying the prayer, and I was thinking, you know, I was having a day where these people liked me and these people didn't like me, and this was working, this wasn't working, and I read the scripture, all right, whatever, God, and I'm not sure I'm quite really connecting. And then I remember this principle. It's like, I'm supposed to give you something during this prayer. And so I just literally stopped what I was doing. And I was like, you know, I know the person that I need to talk to. I took a minute to pray to make sure I kind of knew how I was going to approach it. Called him up. Awesome conversation. You know, and I did that like two or three times probably this week. Or someone I'd been missing and I hadn't talked to in a while. I said, you know, God, I feel like right now I'm supposed to go give them a call. And I gave God something. As I gave God something, God pour back into me. That's the missing piece if you feel like prayer is not powerful in your life. Sometimes, mostly all the time, we're always giving him a confession, right? Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. We're giving him repentance. God, I'm going to change. Now, I'm not going to do it on my own. I'm going to ask your grace, but Lord, I know the change. I know the decision I need to make. Sometimes we're going to give him obedience. God, I need to go do that. Sometimes we're going to give him a sacrifice. God, you've been so good. I feel like you're saying, give it back and trust you for more. Sometimes we're going to give him praise. We're going to give him a testimony. But prayer becomes powerful when we don't just talk and listen, but when we give. And when we give, God begins to do great things. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given back to you. Because it ends up coming to this then. When I've given something to God, I've made room for him to come in. And we don't want to just talk, listen, and give, but we want to be filled. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to say anything else, I think, you know, the Father would just be saying this, would you believe and receive? We're taught to pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. Luke 11:13, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, our life is always like a vessel that needs to be filled up. And without God's Spirit in us, we always go this direction, right? We always sink. Life always gets on top of us. It only takes 10 minutes of listening to the news to feel that defeated, deflated, and that low. And we start out the week, and we're kind of getting stepped on as we go through our week. Just feels like people have a special spiritual gift to step on us. We're just getting stepped on all the time. And so we begin to talk to God about it, and that's great. And then we begin to hear, and we remember that even though we're feeling down here and things seem to be down here, even though that's how we feel and that's what it looks like, that we remember who we are in Jesus, it begins to open us up. Sometimes we get stuck at the bottom of somebody's shoe. And then we begin to give and make room and open up. And I really want to encourage you. I would encourage some of you during worship, you know, maybe you're not a big singer, but you should sing the words of the song. Because you know what you're doing in that moment when you're actually singing? You're opening up. When you're not singing during a song, you know what you're doing? You're like the little kid refusing to eat the baby food. Just open up a little bit. Just let the words. We're going to have a moment to worship at the end again. Sing the words. Open up a little bit. Because once we open up and we give, oh yeah. You know what? If I'm just down here the whole time, it's like this, I can't get there, I can't get there. But what were most of the words of the song we sang? About getting through or overcoming, right? And a lot of us, if we would tend time in prayer and say, Lord, now I want to receive, fill me up, then we wouldn't have to worry about getting through. Why? Because we wouldn't be getting through. We'd be rising above, right? Where's it going? The guys in the church are like, how am I cleaning that up, Pastor Sean? But look, when you try to just get through people's attitudes instead of being above people's attitudes, I mean, it's work, right? And it doesn't go well usually. Fire, fighting fire with fire, how does that go usually? Yeah, everybody's toasty by the end of that one, right? But when I take time to give God, help my attitude. God, that, you know what? There are things I could say about what's wrong with them. But the truth is, here's what I should give to you about what's wrong with me right now, right? Wouldn't our families be an amazing place if we were praying, and as we were praying, no one had to tell us what to give, but we just like, hey, by the way, I just want to give an apology. I want to give some thoughtfulness. And instead of trying to figure out how we're going to make it all there, we would just kind of float above it. Is it going to stay? I thought one of those would eventually stay. Hey, by the way, a little sidebar, but God spoke something to me. I didn't do the balloons the first time because I was thinking about cleaning up like this. And I felt like the Lord said, Sean, second service, you need to do it. I was like, all right, God. And here's what the Lord, and I think this is for someone in the room. Some of you feeling like you're hitting a ceiling in life. All right? You're hitting a ceiling in life. You can't get any further. But what God would say to you, this is what God said to me. He said, Sean, what would happen if there was no roof on this place? Where would that balloon go? Just whatever wind in any place would take you wherever. And I just feel like there's a word for some of you here today that the reason the ceiling is where it is because God's keeping you in place because he doesn't want just any wind to take you and take you any place. Good word? All right? So just hear that word today. God's got that for someone here today. We're filled with God. We're filled with him, and instead of going this way, we overcome. Because most of us aren't fixing most of the things that are wrong, right? We need God to fix them, and we need to be above them and not be defeated by them. And then we finish in unity. I mean, isn't that the most obvious characteristic of the Lord's Prayer? It's not my Father. It's not my sins. It's our Father. It's you, plural. It's us. It's give us our. And we need to remember that the reason why prayer can become stale to us is because the only thing we're praying is what we know about, what we care about, and what's connected to us. But if you want to find a God who is more than you, then let the body of Christ lead you in praying for things you don't even think are important. And when you don't even think they're important, and when they're not part of your world, and yet you begin to see God move in them, you begin to learn that God's more than just in your world. So that's why it's so important. It's why Jesus taught that we should always, within our prayer, pray in unity. And so what we want to do as a church is we want to take the book of Acts and that what we see that the church can be when we pray, and we want to begin to pray them together as a church. And so if you will look on your bookmark, on one side it says my prayer, but on the other side, voila, our prayer. Pretty complicated, huh? All right? And what we're going to do is for the month of October, every day we're going to pray for a characteristic of the New Testament church that we found in Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. And what we're going to do is on Monday, we're going to pray for salvations. We're going to pray that seeds that were planted here will come and people will say yes to Jesus. But we're also going to pray that since we're still the church on Monday, can I get an amen to that? Amen. You're still the church on Monday, that as you go to your school, at your workplace, in your neighborhood, God will use you so that, as verse 47 says, every day the number of people who are saved will be increased. Tuesday, we're going to pray for healing as a church family. And the Bible is clear that every place that the kingdom of God was declared, the sign and the gift of healing accompanied it because it was the physical way for people to understand the spiritual reality, that there is good news, that there is a God who is overcome, that Jesus does have authority not only over sin, but over sickness. And so we're going to pray on Tuesdays that testimonies of healing. I mean, didn't it encourage you during service? When I started reading some of those testimonies of healing that are in our church family from just prayer time. And I want to encourage you, when there is an answered prayer, make sure you write it down in your connection card because we want to encourage the body of Christ. Satan wants the light to be held under a bushel. We want to get that light up on a stand for all the world to know, hey, look who Jesus is. Look what he does. He is there. He is able. And so we're going to pray on Tuesdays for healing. On Wednesday, we're going to pray for reconciliation. We spent a lot of time talking about this on Wednesday. It was a conversation that we're still going to work on. The Bible says that we are ambassadors of what? We're ambassadors of reconciliation. That God is through us inviting us to tell people to be reconciled with God himself. So we do not have the option of not caring about reconciliation. We do not have the option of being unmoved when people are not together and where peace and justice is not found. We are ambassadors of reconciliation. And so on Wednesdays, what I'd like you and what I'd like me to pray for is we want to pray, God, bring people together. Bring peace. Help forgiveness happen. Do it in my home. Do it in my relationships. Do it in my community and do it in my nation. And so as we're continuing, I want to say a thank you for all of you who responded last week to the Micah 6-8 Commission. Some of you, we could use a few more people in the Micah 6-8 Commission. Feel free to indicate that you want to be part of that. Or if you want to be part of mentoring at LC Bird or doing some of the other works of reconciliation we're going to be doing. What I want to encourage you is we're going to pray for that. And as we're praying this month, we're going to continue to see how God wants us to continue the conversation. Thursday, we're going to pray for generosity because God's people, as God is abundantly supplying, they are meeting the needs of the needy. And then, by the way, for us specifically with Cornerstone, we know we have two big financial needs this year. For the church plant that Pastor Travis and Brittany are going to be doing in South Richmond, it starts next September. We got to organize all the funds. Our Christmas offering, we need to raise a total of $60,000 for the church plant. We're hoping for at least $50,000 during that Christmas offering. You can begin to pray for that. And then our first church plant, our Project Hope, our work in Ethiopia, the clinic there that is free service to all of the Muslims of that area, it costs us $60,000 a year, an annual budget. The church plant for South Richmond is just a one-time, but we have the annual. So we're working outside the church as well to raise that. But we should all pray for that together so we can join together in seeing God reach the unreached with his good news. And then Friday, and I'm going to say this one. And when I say this one, at the end of this one, I want you to give me a big, big amen. Fridays, we're going to pray that God brings revival. Amen. Amen. That's what we're praying. It starts in you and it starts in me, right? The revival starts here, and we're praying that God will do it, that we will, as the book of Acts says, be in awe of God and what he does. So what we do is we pray for more prayer. We pray for more power. We keep it simple. It's not complicated, but we pray for more of it. We pray that by the end of this month, I'm going to go from 15 minutes a day to prayer to 20 minutes a day prayer because I just need a little bit more time with them because I can't get enough now. And what we want to do is every time we come together, and this is your responsibility as much as it's mine, man, you got to come into church praying that God's going to pour out his spirit in the midst of our time together. You can say amen to that too. Amen. So that's our prayer. This is what God does as he begins to bring us together. So I'm going to invite you to two steps of faith this week. The first is this Wednesday at 7 o'clock is our corporate prayer. We do it the first Wednesday of the month. We cancel the other programs. And what we do is we just say we want to get into the presence of God. We want to seek his face. The worship team leads us. Awesome night of worship. But what we do is we pray. And there's going to be children's ministry from infant to second grade. After that, you might as well just bring them on in here. I know my family, we had a blessed time. Man, we were all praying individually, and every member of my family, by the end of that night, man, had been in the presence of God. So some of us are wondering why our kid doesn't want to know God. It's because we haven't introduced him yet. So I encourage you, man, bring him the corporate prayer. Bring him the first Wednesday. Say, man, we're just going to praise God for a little bit and trust that Lord will use it. But this is the first Wednesday. That's the service we want to be the best attended service at Cornerstone is prayer night. And so I want to invite you to take a step of faith this week and organize your week so you can be with us 7 to 8 o'clock. It's going to be powerful. And then the other step of faith for this week is I want you to have prayer time every day this week. Now, I'm even only giving you the Monday through Friday. You can figure out what you want to do on Saturday. But during your work week, let's commit this week. We're going to pray every day. If you committed to 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I'm going to really take that time out. And I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to tell God how I feel. I got a scripture already given to me I can look at. And then I'm going to give God something. And as I give God something, I'm going to believe he's going to fill me with something that I need. And then I'm going to finish praying the prayer point for that day. Man, what could God do? Well, let me tell you what God could do. God could do Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47. That's what he could do. That's who he wants us to be. You're called to it. I'm called to it. This is going to be a powerful month. And I hope whether you do your job in a truck, man, take this journal, pop it on your dashboard. And while you're driving, don't write in it while you're driving. Okay, when you're stopped on the side of the road, don't journal and drive, okay? But man, when you get a moment and you got a call and all of a sudden you're worrying about it, just open this thing up. You don't got to write more than 5 words to say, pray for that. And just remember, God's remembering this just like you're remembering this right now. He's going to be faithful. So I want us to finish up by doing something maybe we don't do very often in that church, and that's be a little quiet. We're going to go through the 5 steps right now. We're going to say, God, I need you. Pastor Brandon's going to lead us in that song. All of us going to open up our mouth and open up a little bit. Let God put something in it. And I'm going to invite you, when we finish singing the song, I'm going to invite you, I'm going to read Luke 6:38, the whole verse to you. And then after that, that's where your journal comes in. After that, if you feel like God's telling you to give him something, write it down. And then we'll finish up, and we'll just receive, and then we'll finish up in the Lord's Prayer because we're going to pray in unity. It's going to be good. So you got your journals with you, right? So you don't necessarily need it right now, but just this is, I'm praying it's going to be a blessing to you. It's going to be a reminder of who you are every minute of every day. You're a child of God. You're a person of prayer. So let Pastor Brandley, you just stay seated. Just let Pastor Brandley, and let's begin this prayer time, but just all saying, God, I need you.